Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I have a great guest in store for you today, Mia Hewitt. Mia is co-owned and operated two seven-figure businesses. She's an international speaker, a best-selling author, and a world-class business coach. She is the founder of Aligned Intelligence, a methodology that removes all blind spots, fear, anxiety, and self-doubt. This is what allows her clients to free their minds from having an inner critic or negative self-talk and shows them how to consistently and predictably coach themselves through any obstacle so they can build their dream businesses, feeling fulfilled in their purpose and impacting millions. It's my pleasure to welcome Mia to our show today.
Yay, thank you so much for having me. We're going to have fun.
We are going to have fun. I can't wait to dig into this because I've been doing some different teaching on self-talk right now and how important it is, especially during sort of this isolated period of time that we've had. Mm. But why don't you just dive in? Let's start with filling in some of the gaps of your bio and kind of take us along your journey, how you got to where you are today, and then exactly how you're working with clients in this space.
Sure, absolutely. I think the biggest thing you would want to know about me is when I was about 5 years old, I remember playing in my room and I heard my father calling me. And I could tell by the sound of his voice that he was like, he meant business. Like I could feel it in him. And of all the people that I was afraid of in my household, my father was the one who scared me the most because I never knew what was going to set him off. Like he could be the funniest person one moment, like really gregarious and so forth. And then the next moment he would just like explode at something. And I always felt like I had to walk around on eggshells. And I like to share this because inside of this, I remember that day, he, 5 years old, him saying to me, you know, like, I want us to go outside and spend some time together. I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, he wants to spend time with me. Like I felt so special because I wasn't his favorite. I'm the second to the oldest. And my older sister was kind of like the boy that he never had. So she was like his favorite one to hang out with. So I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. And I remember we went outside and he says to me, you know, which one of these is your favorite chicken? And I remember like, oh, that's easy. Like she's my favorite. I always had this one named Henny Penny and she'd always come over and see exactly what I was doing. And I used to find worms for her to eat. And he said, matter-of-factly, great, that's the one we're going to kill today. And I remember thinking like my mind went blank. I froze. I went into this massive confusion pattern. Like I couldn't understand what was happening. I didn't understand what was happening. And I remember hearing someone scream and then realizing, oh my gosh, this is me. I've done something horrible. This is all my fault. And my mind just went blank. And that day, Belinda, my life changed forever. You see, that day I decided people don't really mean what they say. You can't really trust anyone, not even your own father. And the world, well, it's not really a happy or a safe place. And so I vowed at 5 years old that I would never, ever let this happen to me again. So I built these walls around myself and I didn't let anyone in for years, even decades. I just never knew back then that the walls that I built to protect myself would become my greatest limitations for myself and my business. Like that is really what happened to me inside of there. I think that that's what really what I would love to share with people of that, because does that make sense? Like the biggest thing, like all along, I had no idea what I was struggling with in my 30s, my 40s, my 20s even. I'm 53 now. It all had to link back to my original trauma. I don't see the connection.
So in those years, so I can understand how you discovered that those are your sort of limitations to really achieving really great success. But tell us a little bit about the journey. Like, what sorts of things did you do as far as work in that time frame that led you to be this coach today?
Well, I, you know, because I grew up poor, I just became, when I was younger, I just became obsessed with not being poor. Like, I just didn't want to be poor for the rest of my life. Like, some really traumatic things beyond that even happened to me in my life. And I remember thinking, like, I just need to not be poor, because when you're poor, these are why all these bad things happen. You know, your father kills the chicken. My dog died, you know, because our house was infested with fleas and all these kind of things. So I went on a rampage of, like, I just have to not be poor. And then I created my first company, and the first company I created, I completely created it out of completely burnout, completely surviving, through trying to break through all these invisible walls that I didn't even know I had. I didn't remember making these decisions. Like, they weren't conscious to me. But everywhere in my business I was struggling was when anyone showed up in my life and they had the kind of demeanor, right, where they were kind of like dominating or controlling, I would instantly go into a frozen state. My mind would shut down. I'd get really, really, really confused, and I could not. I'd become the dumbest person in the room. I couldn't make sentences out of anything. So on the outside, I appeared like this incredible success, but on the inside, I felt like a complete failure. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I think it goes to how a lot of people deal with this whole imposter syndrome today. It's sort of similar to what you're describing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then how did you sort of overcome that? What are some of the steps that you took, which I'm sure is what has led you today to teaching other clients, but how did you overcome that?
Well, I did what I thought I should do, which is I just reached and I just went out and I hired anyone that was like, they said that they could help me. That would be, I went to therapists. I went to four different therapists in my lifetime. I hired the best and the best, inside of the industry. I spent I've spent over $500,000 in my own coaching, but I remember the straw that broke the camel's back was I had paid this gentleman, very well known, $50,000 to help me overcome this, you know, because I was this success person that felt like a failure inside. And so about 6 months into it, I'm very coachable. If you tell me what to do, I will do it. I'm definitely a coachable person. I just remember he struggled so much with me, and he had had it with me because I didn't understand what was wrong. I knew logically what to do. I didn't feel like I could emotionally do it. That's where I struggled, in between my logical mind and my emotional feeling place. So I remember the turning point for me, or the tipping point, was when he had said to me, you know, Mia, I went to him and I said, I just don't understand what I'm missing. Can you help me? Like, what am I not seeing? And I remember him being so frustrated. And he was like, Mia, you just need to go in your room and lock the door and not come out until you figure this out. And that's when the ghetto, a little bit of ghetto side of me comes out, because I grew up poor and I was like, I didn't need to pay you no $50,000 to have me tell me that. I could have just done that myself. Mm-hmm. So I was pissed. I was really, really, really pissed. And so it took me, back then, when I didn't understand all of these pieces like I do now, that would take me out for days. I would replay that conversation over and over and over again, that inner critic. I would say, like, I should have said this, I should have said that, I should have said this. I would, like, take that and, like, loop on that. It would take me out of any kind of doing anything productive, getting anything done. Reason I'm saying all this is when I finally got done doing that, I literally, from that day, I was like, I don't know what this is, but I cannot be the anomaly. I'm not that special. I cannot be the only person that struggles, that knows logically what to do, but emotionally didn't feel like I could do it. I became on a quest, is really how it is. I'm not an overnight success. It took me 6 years to find what I found that I help people live in 8 weeks or less. Like I'm, and it is the biggest blind spot ever. So basically what it is that this, when we're children, like, let me start back a little bit here. When we're born whole, perfect, and complete. Like, there is not one baby born with a self-esteem issue, not one. And then inside of that wholeness where we feel like the whole world is for us, we think everything is for us. Like, and then something happens, and it happens really young, most often around the age of 2 to 3. Mine happened to be, you know, like, I think I was either 4 or 5 in that. But most often I see the between 2 and 3 is the most common. And something will happen where we go into an experience that we didn't even know that that experience, that type of experience could happen. And it shocks us, blindsided us, causes us to be confused, freeze in some way. And then we pull back within ourselves. This is going to be too strong of a word, but it's more of a feeling. We separated from who we were being up until that point. We pulled back, we felt all alone, like there was something really wrong with us. And then that's the day we created our ego. So my ego that I created in order to survive that experience, an ego is just a false self that we create in order to help us, you know, go through something we don't think we're capable of being. And so I created an ego. My ego was a people pleaser. I became like always trying to do it right, trying to be the good girl, not do it wrong so that bad things wouldn't happen to me. I didn't trust people. So I always pretended that to be nice in order to try to get like to get by and survive the experience. All mm-hmm. those walls.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that's where, and that is really what I found is that I didn't know because as a child, when these experiences happened, it happened when we didn't have a conscious mind. We only had a subconscious feeling mind back then. And so as our conscious mind grows, which happens after the, you know, like after the age of 7, once we have a conscious mind, we loop between I knew consciously what to do as an adult. But emotionally, subconsciously, I didn't feel like I could do it. So basically, in a nutshell, what I do is I help entrepreneurs or those that want to be entrepreneurs stop secretly struggling by teaching them exactly how to, we help them heal like the trauma that happened at the very original one, not the one later on that most people think it is, but the original one. And then we teach them exactly how to use this methodology that allows them to consistently and predictably be able to overcome any obstacle so that they live in alignment within themselves.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a lot, wasn't it?
I know.
I mean, it's
mouthful.
It is. You know what? I think it's pretty heavy, but I think that there's a lot of people that, you know, struggle with these things, and it's not something that people really delve into and figure out. And so let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of your greatest skill sets that have really helped you. Kind of, I like to call them your superpowers.
Sure.
What do you think has really helped you in owning your own business?
The number one thing is how to come back into alignment, right? So people often, I'm known as a human potential expert, and people say, well, where is your potential and how do you get your potential? Which is like what you're like, how I'm talking about, where is my superpower? And this is really where real power exists. It's not what people think. So there is a space in between the action and reaction. There's a space. In that expansiveness lies your power, your greatest power of choice. Does that make sense, Belinda? It's like that space in between where I can operate inside of my ego and fear, or I can operate inside of my true self, my alignment of who I really am. That space in between the action or the reaction is the greatest your greatest power. And so that would, I would say, is my greatest superpower. I don't get stopped. I don't have an inner negative inner voice anymore. I don't have a voice that runs in my head. If you would have told me that years ago, I'd have thought you're crazy. But I don't have a voice that runs anymore that's negative, which is so cool. But yeah, that would be my superpower. So one would be knowing how to, like, you know, I live in alignment. And then having that, like really understanding that, where power really comes from, being able to separate the truth from the lie so I can free and let go of any kind of misunderstanding, being able to focus inside of then once understanding that, it's really just becomes fun. So to me, my superpower is I'm completely unstoppable. I don't hope that I'm going to get my results. I know I'm going to get my results because I'm highly committed, highly intentional, and I'm completely detached from the way it's got to look. So I'm very flexible. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So I do have an interesting question for you, though, in that. So I really feel like I know I've been doing business and I've had my own business of some kind now for 40 years. So I've been doing this a very long time.
Yeah.
And most of that pretty darn successfully. Yes. So I've had to reinvent myself a couple of times along the way, but and I've always thought that I was a pretty strong individual. And I still, now this is what I tell people, you'll get to a point where you don't stay in that space for very long. I still have negative talk that comes up. I still have self-doubt that creeps in.
Sure.
I think the only difference today is I'm able to identify it quickly and squash it. Like going, what are you talking about? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, so you're saying you have no negative self-talk ever?
Yes, I don't. I don't have any negative self-talk. And the reason is, though, is because I actually healed that trauma. So before healing the trauma, the negative voice is coming from the trauma, your original trauma. Everybody has one. Everybody has an original trauma. Like everybody, every single person. There's not one human being I've ever spoke to in over, you know, oh my God, how many years now, that doesn't have an original trauma. It's just that trauma doesn't look the way we think in society it should look. Like, let me give you an exact example. Like, it doesn't have to be like mine. I had a guy just recently I helped. So as an entrepreneur, his was, what he was experiences is he would make money and lose money, make money and lose money. Like, he couldn't really build real wealth. And so I'm like, okay, let's look at your trauma, because it's all going to come from the trauma, the patterns that we see, the things that we see are hardwired into our subconscious mind. So I'm like, let's look at your trauma. And he didn't think he had a trauma. He's like, no, Mia, I have a great, you know, I had a good family. I was raised in a loving home. Yeah, totally get it. Let's still look at your trauma. So I actually took him back to see where his trauma was. Because the cool thing about the subconscious mind is it's a lot like the hard drive in your computer. It always remembers. You just have to really know. It's kind of like Google. You just have to put in the right keywords and it will spit it out. So I literally asked him the right questions inside of it. And he literally said, he recalled a memory when he was 4 years old that he had just come home from preschool. And he was super excited. And he's like, daddy, 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 look, I colored inside the lines. And his dad looked at the piece of paper. And what he said was, huh, well, I guess you don't have much of an imagination. That's all he said. But the little boy, it literally changed the trajectory of his entire life. Because he made that little boy made it mean, oh, there's something wrong with me. He didn't even know what an imagination was back then. What does that mean? But he made it mean it must be something bad. I'm missing something. Like, I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. And so now his whole life, he's been inside of, before he came to work with me, literally was this whole life was how to prove I'm good enough. How can I? So he would cattle prod himself, never like really using, you know, that critical voice would constantly be berating him in order to try to prove he was good enough. So we had to heal that and then clear up the misunderstandings and help him live in alignment. And now He's crushed it. In fact, he invested in Bitcoin. And have you seen what Bitcoin did recently? He doubled his money and so forth. So anyway, good stories, but that's like a really, does that make sense? It doesn't have to be so big is what I'm trying to get at, Belinda.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is what you do then. You walk people through with a series of questions that allows people to identify when this first trauma occurred in their lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And your listeners can get it for free. Like, it's in my book. I tell you exactly how to do it in my book. They can get it for free. Download it at MiaMeantForMoreBook.com. And all they have to do is use the link free book, all one word with a capital F, free book, and they can just download it for free. So they don't have to buy it on Amazon, or if they wanted the paperback, they can get it on Amazon. But yeah, it's all in my book. I show them how to find it. I tell in my book, the whole book is done in story format.
Okay.
In order for them to ask themselves the questions that is in the book, so they can find all of their own answers. It was really something to put that book together, because I did it for the reader in mind of like doing it all in that story format. So yeah, that's how they can find it.
Great. And the book is Meant for More.
Yes, it's called Meant for More: How to Stop Secretly Struggling and Become a Force to be Reckoned With. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about working from your happy place. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. It really means to me that alignment piece. Feeling, you know, the fascinating thing to me, so living from a happy place is really, for me, all about, it's not going to feel what people think it's going to feel like, but it's all actually feels like neutrality. Like, alignment to me is, it can be expressed this way. It feels like non-attachment, non-judgment, and non-resistance. It's the greatest feeling ever. That to me is really my happy place.
Wow. Great.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious, because we didn't talk about this in the beginning, but where do you live right now?
Right now I'm in Boston. I go between Boston and Florida. Yeah. But I grew up in Florida. I was born in Florida, raised in South America. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I grew up in the jungle. My parents, I had a monkey. We caught tarantulas. Oh. I have a really wild, diverse, and I'm blonde. So they had never seen a white girl before. They thought I was an albino. They constantly touched my hair, my skin. Yeah. I have a really, really wild and diverse childhood for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. So let's talk about, what advice would you give to others wanting to be entrepreneurs, or others that are stuck or afraid to move forward? What advice would you give to them?
Sure. The first thing I would say is, like, locate your trauma. The trauma is going to show you all your patterns and why you're stuck. And then once you heal that, then what's really cool is, because I always tell, you know, people often say to me, Mia, how do I find my purpose? And I always like to say, well, your purpose is what will give your life meaning. That's all a purpose is. It's not something you go find. It's actually something you uncover within. And the really cool thing is when you uncover your trauma, it will in some way be in alignment with that. Like, my greatest thing, like, I grew up poor. So for me, my greatest purpose, my greatest meaning that gives my life meaning, is I help people heal their trauma so we can go have fun and make six and seven figures, because I love making money. It is so much fun. And I think people should make, I'm not saying everybody needs to be a millionaire. Like, I'm not in judgment of at all, and think people should live like I live, or, you know, do the things that I do. Not at all. But I really believe that people should live the life they most want to live and make as much money as they want. And so that is the greatest thing that gives my life meaning, is watching other people succeed. I mean, that is so rewarding for me. So something that, like that, like, once you heal the trauma, it's going to be somewhere inside of that. It's like when you put that, so what I like to do is, we heal the trauma first, and then we start with the lifestyle you want to live, and then we apply the right business model. Because one thing I learned from building two multi-million-dollar companies, I learned that it's not how much you make, it's actually how much you get to keep. So having really big profit margins are super, super important to me. I don't like to work that hard anymore. So I don't have it as a badge of honor at all anymore. I used to think, oh, I have to prove I'm good enough and I've got to really, really struggle and work hard to prove that I'm worthy of having this money. Now I'm the complete opposite. So my second business I created was completely from flow and ease. So from this business, it's like, for me, it's like, how can I make more and work less? So for that, I would choose then from there, I would put the right vehicle to the lifestyle you want to live, having the best, you know, profit margins and so forth that would give your life meaning. My gosh, I haven't found anything better in life than that, right?
I feel the same way. Like, yeah. I just enjoy the art of making money, and then I love to help other people make money.
Yes.
This, so though, fun. Is something that a lot of people struggle with. They struggle with, I guess, whether they're worthy enough of it, or that it's right, or that they're going to appear greedy, or that, you know, it's wrong to want to make a lot of money. There is so much feelings surrounded around that one topic, I think, that really causes people a lot of issues in discovering this trauma or whatever. What have you discovered is really some of the things that underlie that feeling, that specific feeling of not feeling right about making a lot of money?
Well, it's all tied to their original trauma. Because inside of that trauma, that experience, the decisions every human being has made is they made three core decisions. And this happens subconsciously, but they made a decision of there's something that they made it about them. Because as children, we don't go, oh, look, dad's just having a bad day today. We go, oh my gosh, like my God doesn't love me, right? Like, we think our parents are God. We don't think of them as people on their own journey of self-discovery or like trying to figure it out themselves. So we internalized it to mean something about us. We internalized whatever happened to mean it was our fault and somehow that there's something wrong with us, that we're to blame. So once that happens, when you add money now to the equation, we already feel in a feeling place subconsciously that we're not perfect, we're not whole, there's something wrong with us. And now you tell us about money and linking money to that. Well, how do I prove that I'm good enough to deserve that? And then all of our fears of like, oh, well, what will this person think and what will that one? It's all coming from not feeling good enough. Because what I've found is when we think that we're not enough, then what we do is we always look for validation from outside of ourselves, from others. So when we heal this and we know that we are enough, like not like as a concept, but I really know it. Like, it's not a question. Like, I'm not questioning my enoughness anymore. And so when you live from enoughness, like really have it as a way of being, now I can, you know, now we can see money for what it is. Money is simply has nothing to do with me. Like, I actually, the only reason we're in business, to be in business, we can only be in business to solve a problem. So money becomes an exchange of value from somebody who has that problem that I can solve. It's nothing personal. It's not even about me. What allows me to make a lot of money is because I keep it not about me and it's all about what is in it for my ideal client. And then because I know how to systematize and scale and create the right business model, which has an ascension to it, so that I extend the lifetime value of my clients and they're staying with me longer because I'm solving bigger problems for them consistently. Well, I get to reap the reward or the effect of that cause of me doing that. But it's not because there's anything greater about me. Like, I'm not special. I don't have a college education. My kids do. My daughter's in med school right now because she wants to be a plastic surgeon. So she's in Stanford. But I never went to college. My son got a master's degree. He used to come to me and say, "Mom, what do you think about this?" You know, in business, he owns two companies now. But he was like, "Mom, what do you think about this?" And I was like, "Oh, that's not going to work. You need to do this, this, and this." And he's like, "Mom, that's not what they taught me in school." And I'm like, "Well, there's no judgment, but does that professor, has he built million-dollar companies? Because I'm going to tell you what to do practically, not as a concept." And when you put all those pieces together, it doesn't, you know, it's like a recipe, right? I know you know this, mm-hmm. Linda, because you've done this for 40 years. So I know I'm not talking, you can relate in the sense of it really comes down to really simple. I feel that the ego, our from our trauma, overcomplicates this. It's so easy to make money when you understand exactly the ingredients that goes into making money. When we can clarify a scalable business model, when we can identify our ideal client who has the problem we want to solve, when we quantify it, be able to have proof of concept because we actually beta test it. So people do pay for it. When we have the right business model, the right identity of an ideal client, the right scalable business, we amplify it using ads or a launch or funnel or whatever it is that we're going to bring more to the scalability. We take an idea to income using a single message, a single offer, a single expertise, a single system, and a single invitation. It's a recipe. It's not hard. I mean, if I could do it, surely anyone can. But you do have to understand the recipe. And you do have to be able to get out of your own way. And your trauma is always at literally, it is creating every single person's sabotage. And once you put the pieces together, it all makes sense. And I want to say this because I went to, you know, I coach with the best and the best out there. And I went back to some of these big wigs that I do. And I was like, I found it. I know the exact thing. And, you know, of course they thought I was crazy. They didn't, you know, I mean, who am I? Like, you mean all the world psychologists and who have all been to Ivy Leagues. They didn't know the answer, but this girl who's never is going to know the answer. Like they totally doubted me, totally, you know, didn't believe me, and that's okay. But it's funny because now they're coming back to me. It's like, what did you learn again? What did you tell me? It's like, yeah, exactly. I told you I knew it. It's just kind of fun. I think it's fun in hindsight. And I don't judge them for it because it's like, why would I be the one that found this? I just think because I was obsessed. I mean, that's like people want to ask me that. Why would you be the one? Because I was freaking obsessed and I had nothing else to lose. You know, it's like, what did I have to lose? I had already invested $500,000. I mean, like, what was I going to lose?
Right.
I just went all in on it. Yeah.
This has been absolutely wonderful, Mia. Oh, thank you so much. And can you, let's just really quick tell people how they can find you. And then why don't you give them your free book offer again?
Absolutely. Reach out to me personally at Mia Hewitt, and Hewitt is spelled Hewett.com. So they can email me directly. I answer all my own emails. My team doesn't. So I'm the one responding. And then where they can go get the book for free, it's MiaMeantForMoreBook.com. And the password is all one word. It's called free book with a capital F.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. And to all of our listeners, make sure that you subscribe to Work From Your Happy Place so that you don't miss a single episode of our great interviews that we have, including today's. And I would encourage you to leave a review so that we can hear from you and continue to bring our best to you. So thanks to all of our listeners. And once again, I'd like to thank our guest, Mia, for being on Work From Your Happy Place. Thanks, Mia.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.